Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. With me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Kelly, a lot to digest from CSU's Media Day the other day. And, of course, the news yesterday. Joe Parker put out a letter to fans, kind of giving them the rundown of what it looks like in the arena or at the stadium and everything, but basically masks. That's what we're kind of looking at least for the fans at this point.
At this point, they haven't said masks will have to be worn outdoors in the stadium. At this point, it's just for indoor seating areas. So, yes, I'm sure you and I will be wearing them up in the press box and in the elevators and in interview rooms and fans and sitting in luxury suites and stuff like that. They have not yet announced a requirement for masking outdoors. That could still come, but at this point, that's not the case. Certainly volleyball at Moby Arena, people will be asked to wear masks. And Kevin Lytle and myself were at a kind of meet the team media event last night, and along with a bunch of boosters, and we were all wearing masks. So that's just kind of the way it's going to be, I guess, at this point. And we'll see where it goes. And, you know, the fear is that it's going to keep getting more restrictive and that they're going to have to maybe start doing some social distancing or limit attendance. But at this point, there are no plans for any of that. Plans still call for full attendance. They're just going to make you wear masks some of the time, and that may extend to the outdoor areas in the stadium too, because of the size crowds involved. It hasn't yet, but that could happen. So it's a little bit, you know, certainly a better situation than we were in at this time last year, but when there wasn't even going to be a football season at this point, to where we are now. But you know, it is a little concerning that things are maybe moving in the wrong direction again, and what that could mean for our hopes of a return to normal football this fall may be a little more delayed than we were hoping.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, you know, like you said, the trend certainly is alarming. Do you see, Kelly, and I know you're more on the sports side of things, but just judging by the people you've talked to, even folks at the Coloradoan, could there be potential in the next, you know, couple of weeks where this reverses back, where it is more or less so you don't have to wear a mask? Or do you think that this is going to be the case for the fall, regardless of what trends, positive or negative, we see?
I think they're probably going to follow the science. And if case counts keep getting worse, hospitalizations keep increasing, then we're probably going to go to more strict requirements again. We might be back to reduced seating capacity in restaurants or closing them all together, movie theaters, that kind of stuff. And then that's going to get really awkward for everybody and for sports too. At the same time, I know for a fact that the county, at least in Larimer County, has been very, very clear, as has CSU, that we can just get these reluctant people that are uncomfortable or unwilling to get vaccinated. We could make a lot of progress pretty quickly.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Yeah, it'll all be interesting. We're still covering COVID alongside the sports world. But we did have the CSU Media Day the other day. And boy, Kelly, Adazio, as we know, you can ask a question, he's going to take you for a ride.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's his way to not answer as many questions in 30 minutes or what, but he does like to give some long-winded answers. And, you know, there are coaches that are worse. I'm told that Brian Harsin once, when he was at Boise State, basically went 30 minutes on a two-question interview session. So, you know, Steve Adazio is nowhere near that, but sometimes when you're, especially when I'm listening back to some of those on tape, I'm like, wow, he went on for a really long time. It was seemed like a pretty simple question. So I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, Sonny Lubick did a little bit of that too. So that's, you know, there's no harm in that. Generally, they give you more information than you were seeking with the question you ask. And that's never a bad thing when you're a media member wanting to know a little more. But it is different maybe than, you know, Mike Bobo was probably a little more straightforward. As was Jim. Well, Jim McElwain went off on tangents that didn't have anything to do with the question. So at least Adazio usually still kind of sticks with the general theme of the question.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, like, I'm entertained by it right now, and we'll see. But it does seem, you know, he can get bristled a little bit. I know that the quarterback question sounded a little defensive about Todd Senteo. Somebody had asked a question there on Tuesday, kind of what his thoughts were, if he was concerned by any of the, you know, some of the performance last year. And Coach Addazio was quick to remind us, of course, that he didn't play a whole heck of a lot. But you can sense it. He's a little bit defensive of his at least starting quarterback for the time being.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's a little defensive of his whole program at this point, partly because, in all fairness, as he said, four games just is not fair to judge anybody or anything on, especially four games with the interruptions they had, the preparing for eight games but only playing four, preparing for eight opponents but only playing four. And then you've got a brand new coaching staff and trying to blend your staff, your players with the existing players that were here before, transfers coming and going. I get it. There's the level of chaos, honestly, in this program as they've been trying to adjust has probably been pretty tough. And so I'm sure that that's the question that Steve Addazio has been asked more than any other. And he doesn't feel like Todd Senteo got a fair shake last year to show what he can do. And so I think it does bother him a little. I think he almost sees it as like a personal attack, both on Todd Senteo for not being a better quarterback, maybe, and on him and his staff for not having a better quarterback than what we saw in that limited action. So it's going to be very fascinating to see. You know, maybe we all did misjudge Todd Senteo. It's a tough one. I know Todd himself said, I talked to him for quite a while, and he's very disappointed with what he put on the field last year, but he also, you know, was playing with three different injuries, so that definitely affected his ability to play the position some.
Yeah, well, you know, he's fun to talk to, that's for sure. It was exciting to sit down with him. A lot of these guys were really fun to sit and listen to, of course, so talking to Barry Wesley, Scott Patchen, Trey McBride, just some of these studs of the team. You know, Kelly, I always say it, man, everything sounds great on Media Day. I was at UNC Media Day yesterday, and you just want to believe that they're going to win every game and everybody's going to be rocking it, but it's just so hard to know until they get on the field.
It's baseball spring training, you know, hope springs eternal.
Yes.
Every team's going to win the World Series on day one of spring training, and every team's going to win the national championship on football media days in August. But obviously then when, you know, the rubber hits the road and they start playing the games, it gets a little bit different, but we'll see. You know, this team certainly has some personalities. You mentioned a few of them. They've got some talent, but I was telling somebody today, you know, I've seen teams win Mountain West titles with one guy that was a potential NFL player. And I've seen Colorado State teams that had five guys go into the NFL, finish 3-9. So, it, you know, that alone, the individual talent alone is not going to win enough games for you to fix a bad program. You're going to have to do some other things. And, you know, Steve Addazio really plays up the teamwork thing. I just talked to two players, you know, after practice today, that Cam Butler and Matt Valecci, that are both, you know, they're very much on how much Coach Addazio really pushes the team aspect above the individual. And, you know, so we'll see where that goes. That also means if, you know, he's a little less willing to single out individual players, although he has told us he has the best tight end in the country, the best punter in the country, and the best long snapper in the country. So, and maybe even the best kicker in the country. I can't remember where that one progression stopped. So, but there's certainly some talent on this Colorado State football team and some great characters, great personalities, but still putting it all together and winning games on Saturdays in the fall is a little different than talking to them on Media Day in August.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There's some good players. Obviously, guys like McBride, Stonehouse, Patchen, you know, NFL futures, perhaps. Trey McBride, for sure. South Dakota State, September 3rd, though. That, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on that game, Kelly. I mean, when you look at where we are, you know, versus that opponent and the FCS side of things, and I know they're a decent program. They're more than decent. But at the end of the day, you expect to win that. If you lose that game, don't you feel like you're playing from several miles behind for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think these first few games are going to really set a tone for the season. I think it's going to be really hard for this team, if they get off to a bad start, to bounce back and have a good conference season. Not that that's not impossible. Not, I mean, the reality in college football, they could go 0-4 in non-conference and run the table and still win the Mountain West. The reality is that doesn't happen. It's so much of a momentum game and a confidence game. This is a team that, in my mind, is probably a little light on confidence right now as far as winning football games on the field. And so I think this is a team that, boy, if they can beat South Dakota State, maybe Vanderbilt the week after, if they can get off to a decent start, go 2-2 or 3-1 even in those first four games, let alone if they could somehow go 4-0, they could go on to some pretty good things. At the same time, a couple stumbles along the way. You start out, you lose one of those first two, or you go 1-3 in that preseason, or even, 0-4 in those non-conference. It could get really ugly really quick.
Yeah, no question about it. Those first four games will certainly be interesting. And Kelly, when you look around, and I know I want to kind of dive into more of a Mountain West preview with you later as we get closer, but just that Mountain side of things, too. I mean, Boise State, even new coach side of things. Air Force, they should be still pretty darn good. Wyoming, of course. I mean, there's going to be that conference is going to be pretty tough this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think the conference as a whole is probably improved. Again, you've got a lot of new, a lot of first and second year coaches, period. So it's always a little difficult to tell how that's going to work. But Colorado State's one of those with a second year coach. So that doesn't really, they don't really have an edge over anybody else in that regard. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. But certainly, as you mentioned, those teams that are going to be good. Air Force has all those players that took the setback last year that are back this year. I mean, that's like 30-some guys or over two dozen. I don't know what the final number was of guys that were playing and have experience that just chose to sit out last year. And they still put on a decent season without those guys. So I'm really curious to see what Air Force is going to present. Boise's always tough. I think Wyoming has improved. And I think Craig Bohl has really kind of built that team around his personality. And I think it's showing. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. It's not going to be an easy season for Colorado State by any means, but they have a chance to kind of set a new path themselves and have a bit of a breakout maybe. And if they do that, everything that everybody said all up to this point about Steve Adazio and being a career 500 coach, people will forget it in a hurry. If they start losing again, everybody's going to go, why'd they hire this guy?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much pressure on this season. I really feel that way. They're talking about the high hopes of, who knows, the Big 12, whatever. If there is a bunch of conference realignment, the Rams don't want to get left out in the cold. So there's importance on the next few seasons for sure. But just for Adazio to kind of prove everybody wrong, I mean, there's a lot to it. And it starts on September 3rd. Kelly, looking forward to it, my friend. What are you working on that we can check out the next couple of days?
Well, I'm trying to work on some longer-term stories on some of these guys, get a little bit more into who these people really are, some of these Colorado State players we're going to be following this year, more than just on the football field, but kind of, a little bit more about their backgrounds. And, of course, that takes a longer time to report and do the interviews. But short-term, I'm going to throw a quick thing in. I just got off the phone with Matt Valecci. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. Unfortunately, they had to rush into a team meeting, so even though they're not banning in-person interviews today, I wasn't allowed to do one. I had to do it over the phone after they finished their post-practice team meeting. But seems like, he's a guy that came here. He didn't come here to be a backup to Todd Senteo, so he's pretty determined to go out and win the starting job. He says the offense is what he knows from Boston College, and we'll see. Certainly he's going to have a major hurdle to overcome because his own coach has been pretty clear that the starter is Todd Senteo.
Yeah,
Matt Valecci's not buying that yet.
That's interesting. I mean, you got the Broncos who might not make a decision until, 5 years from now. You look over at the Rams, and Adazio's made the decision. Some of us are kind of like, could there have been a little bit of a competition for a week or two? But on one end, I kind of like knowing who the quarterback is before we get too deep into everything. So we shall see. Kelly, appreciate you, man. I'll be looking out for that article, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Steve Adazio has been saying early. I mean, I think he said it last week, the beginning of practice. At the end of practice, I suppose, but the very first practice. He said, Todd's our guy. So Valechi, is that going to be is that actually a competition? No, it's not right now. It's Todd's job to lose at this stage of the season, and I don't know personally. I kind of like that, you know, where it's we're out here trying to figure out who the guy is so we can get used to him and build that up. And I think like Trey McBride saying things like, you know, we've been working together. We've been working together all off season, and we make plans to do that outside of practice. I think that is important too. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Let's go over to the UNC Bears. Learned a lot about this team yesterday and going to get out to some practice next week. We'll kind of make it a Bears week. But just how good can Dylan McCaffrey be? Can they really change the fate and turn this thing around in 2021? We'll be right back.
NoCo Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.